Friday afternoon, the boss had gone into one of the workers' cubicles. And the boss arrived and said, "Can you come to the office on Sunday? There's some work of yours that needs to be finished." To which the worker didn't want to be a bad worker, and the worker said, "Sure. However, I do have to warn you that public transportation on Sundays is really bad." To which the boss said, "Okay, that's fine. That's great. So when do you think you could get here?" And the worker thought and thought and said, "I think I can be there Monday morning." All right, if you didn't get the joke, call me during the Steeler game next week. One week we can't live because we're not playing. Anyway, just want to highlight that there's work to being a church member. Not only work in a negative sense, but that we're all stewards. We've been called to do the work of God here in this world. It's been entrusted to us. Last week, to give you a review, we talked about our time and talent forms. What's it mean to be a steward 101? And the time and talent forms came in a form in an envelope to you. If you didn't get it, we have them in the entryway there. And it basically says, how do you want to be involved here? How do you want to use your gifts that God has given to you? How do you want to spend your time and energy here at St. Andrew? And we looked at the idea that this is volunteering. Now, I went to a secular website. I'll share the name of that later. But the website basically said volunteering is good for you. Not in the grand sense that we think about, like when we talk scripturally, spiritually, but they understood it on a very basic level. That volunteering makes you feel better about yourself, makes you feel better about other people, and certainly we know that you're now part of God's eternal plan as you volunteer. This week, since we're talking stewardship, this is 102 this week, we're talking about your resources, specifically your finances. Each year, our committees, there are six of them, you heard them come up and they presented gifts this morning. The committees work on a budget, and that only looks like numbers on paper. In reality, what a budget is our vision for what's next year. It's the committees putting on paper in a single line item with a dollar amount attached to it. What is our ministry going to look like next year? What do we hope to do in terms of ministry here at St. Andrew and ministry out into the community? Once again, it looks very small, but this is the committee's work. Here's how we're going to touch the world in the name of Jesus Christ. We call that a budget. The budget reflects also our understanding of who we are, because it deals with the fact that we need help. That grand thought of Romans chapter 6, or Romans chapter 3, that we're sinners, we need a gracious God. And the budget reflects that. Our line items say, how do we receive the grace of God here at St. Andrew? And then it understands about ourselves, we can't keep it here. We have to share this good news out into the world. And those line items reflect that. That we're to take our ministry out past ourselves and reach those who still don't understand how they get forgiven when they're sinners. Now, when you go out, you have to describe in your actions, in your words, who you are. What is the church all about? That's what stewardship is. And there are many different answers to that. You could say, the church is a building, and you'd be right, but not complete. The church is a hospital. That's true. It's a hospital for us sinners, where we come and we get repaired. We call that forgiveness. We call that fellowship. We call that God's grace. The church is also a training ground. It's a training ground for us saints, for us to go out into the world, learning how to overcome our sin so that we can share in the world what God's love is all about. It's a training ground. Church is also a rehab center. You know, when you get stuck on something and it's hard to get past it, we're here to help you rehabilitate yourself. That's what forgiveness is all about. When we make mistakes, when we fail each other, God has given us the ability to forgive each other. That's why it's a rehab place. And as we get ourselves put back together, after we've hurt ourselves through our own sin, and we're put back through the grace of God, then we're able to take that out into society and make a difference in the world, specifically to those in need. Now, how does this relate to the scriptures Cindy read earlier? In the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul highlighted we're here for a purpose. I hope you realize that. You weren't blessed into this world to just muddle through. You're here for a purpose. And the purpose, first and foremost, that Paul highlights is that we're to be saints. Now, the word that we translate saints has it as its core the word of holiness. Literally, it means we're set apart. We're set apart for God's good work in this world. That we're to put aside all those things that drag us down, and we're to strive, we'll reach out for all those things of God that make us better, make us stronger, make us more complete. As a result of that, since this is our task, what we're scheduled to do as saints is to go out and share that. And this is Paul's second word, second identification point of us. He called us servants. We're saints as we relate to God and we receive that forgiveness. We're servants as we take that out into the world. As we mentioned last week, the core principle of God is love. And that when we bring that love down into us, this is a vertical touching. We then take that love and horizontally share it with other people. And when we share that love with other people, we become servants. The Greek word for servant is diakonos, which we get the word deacon from. It means to serve. It's to be part with another person's pain, to share in that pain, highlighting the fact that they have a place to go with that pain, which is God himself. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't say, hey, you know what? Do it on your own. Oh, no. He says, we do this together as a ministry unit. We do this together as fellow Christians. To highlight that, he mentioned one of his co-workers, Epaphras. And he said, thank God for Epaphras. He's part of the ministry team. Now, interestingly enough, when we read Paul's letters, if you read it fast enough, you think, Paul and Paul alone. That's not true. Just like it's not just Pastor Mark and Pastor Mark alone. That's not true. When you entered the building, you had to get a bulletin from someone. You heard the choir sing. We're blessed with our music people, both our choir director and our organist. We're blessed that we're part of a team. We have educators here. Our Christian education director, you saw her up front. And then our newest one, our youth and young adult ministry coordinator, teaching our young people. We do this as a team. But we can't do it by ourselves. That's where you come in. Being stewards, we do this together as a team. That as we share together, learning how to love each other by loving God, then we're able to go out and serve the world. That's what the church is all about. We do this ministry together, illustrating Jesus first here, and then we take Jesus out there. Let me give you a negative example. There was a church, and the pastor had one of those altar calls, right? And the lady who cleaned the church came forward on the altar call. And she was an older woman. She kind of didn't keep herself pretty looking. She wore shabby old clothes. There was dirt under her fingernails. She had a little smell about her. And when she came forward, the pastor was like, oh my goodness, how can we take this person in as a member? He thought that in his head. I don't know about you, but we all have internal dialogues. I do know about you. You do. All right? So we all have an internal dialogue. Some of us have an internal dialogue that immediately comes to your mouth. It's not even in here. It's already out. So the pastor's thinking that, and he thought, this is not a good example of a church member at our church. So he said to the woman who came forward, this cleaning lady, he said, why don't we both pray about it and see what God has. The next week, she came forward again, said to the pastor, she said, Pastor, I'd like to be a member of your church. The pastor said, we haven't prayed long enough. To which then, she disappeared. He saw her in the restaurant about a month later, and he thought, once again, the internal dialogue, as a pastor, I have to greet people I know in the community. So he goes over and he says, hello, how are you doing? I haven't seen you at church. The woman responded, well, I did what you suggested. I had a talk with Jesus. And he told me not to worry about being a member of your church. The pastor said, really? How come? And the woman responded, well, You see, Jesus said he hasn't been able to get into your church yet, and so why should I try? Negative example, okay? Your goal here is to bring Jesus into our church by welcoming people, by loving people. That's that vertical connection we make that then has to be a horizontal connection. You can't do the horizontal connection without the vertical connection. Because here's where we get our power. Here's where we get our strength. It's through Jesus that we get the ability to deal with people who we might not normally associate with. Otherwise, if you just do horizontal, you'll burn out shortly. It's got to be vertical first, and then horizontal second. That's how we get. Now, that's part of who we are as a church. That's you being a steward. And part of that stewardship means that you support the ministry we have here financially. Okay? Now, as you give, you're demonstrating that Jesus is central of your life. That this vertical connection is definitely solidified. Because you say, I'm not going to hold back because I'd rather have Jesus. Thank you, choir, for a wonderful, beautiful anthem. Because indeed, that's what life is all about. I'd rather have Jesus than you fill in the blanks. Whether it be riches, fame, fortune. I'd rather have Jesus because all those things eventually disappear and leave you empty. Only this vertical connection to our God through his love can truly transform us and change us and enrich our lives. Thank you, choir, for that great reminder. Now, as we talk about loving Jesus, we want to be like the Colossians. The Apostle Paul thanked them for their generosity. I'd like to read that to you once again. This comes out of verse 3 and 4 out of chapter 1. The Apostle Paul read, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for the saints." Notice how Paul highlighted this. Love for God, love for others. That's what we're to do. Now, last week I promised that I'd give you the rest of that web page. I did look up the name of the website. It's titled Greater Good Society. On that page, there's nothing about God. There's nothing about Jesus. There's nothing about faith. But they understand at a deep level what we say outwardly, that we live for God. And when you live for God, your life is so transformed, so full. Now, here's what they said about giving financially. First and foremost, it makes you happy. And they actually have a study. It's a Harvard Business School study back in 2008. And it said that they compared people. People who gave on a regular basis, people who did not. People who gave on a regular basis reported that they were more happy and contented with their life than those who did not give to outside sources. They highlight what we've said all along. Stewards are happy people. Second thing about giving. It's good for your health. I didn't know you knew that. I don't mean giving to your doctors to help them take care of you. I mean giving to good sources. Once again, from this secular says, and they quoted a book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People by Stephen Post. And basically it said, once again, two study groups, those who gave regular to outside sources reported that they were better able to deal with their chronic illness and they had a healthier lifestyle than those who did not give at all. A third item out of this website was that giving promotes cooperation and social connection. That is so true. Because as you give, you're connected here. And the last one is, giving evokes gratitude, brings about gratitude. And once again, I can't disagree with that. As you give, you realize God gives more. It's a given that as you connect yourself to God and then share that with others, as you pour out, God says, almost empty resource, pour down in more. That's how God works. As we give away, God gives in so that we can continue to do this process. Now, you've received an envelope. If you didn't get it, we'll give it to you as you leave today, that gives a pledge card. Last week, our elders and deacons, those who are currently on session on the Board of Deacons, came forward and they gave their pledges. They were highlighting the fact that they are in favor of the budget that we're going to present to you in a couple weeks, that they look to the vision of the future, and that they want you to participate in that. Now, I do want to say your giving here is very definable. You know when you give what you get in return. You're sitting inside a building and you're not being rained on. That's part of your giving. Do you realize that? We replaced the roof last year, just about this time, with the idea your generosity paid for that roof. Oh, by the way, it's warm in your gyms. And that's part of your giving. Oh, by the way, we turned the lights on for you so you could read. And by the way, you can hear me, which means you paid for a pastor. A pastor who also has amplification. Just want to highlight that, right? You also paid for our staff, our music staff, our education staff. Chris is in the back and Ed's downstairs. That's why I said, where's Annette? I need a tracking device on her, honestly. But it's very definable when you give here. It's also, we let you know what we do with the dollars. You see our budget? And we regularly announce what ministries we give it to. For instance, you've been hearing about, through our children's sermons, the ministries we support, and the places your dollars go. To be able to demonstrate, as you give, it's very definable where we give it away. We're an organization, by the way, that as you give, you receive direct benefit from it. If you're in a hospital, I can guarantee your pastor will visit. I know him. He will come and visit with you. Get the idea, all right? But it's very defined. So that's why we ask for y'all to give. Today's your dedication Sunday for the congregation. If perchance you forgot your pledge card, you can bring it next week or the following week. Until we hit that magical number 108, you've heard what our stewardship people have said at 108, we're going to treat you to an ice cream party and maybe something special. You'll have to wait and see. But you have to reach 108. We don't care if it's furry friends. Last year, our number 100 pledge was from a dog. If your dog wants to pledge, we'll take it. If your kitties want to pledge, that's okay with us. You get the idea. There's benefit in giving. It's very definable here. We do it together. We do it because that's who we are. We're saints serving this world. And so let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the blessing of your love that you've poured out into our lives. We're truly grateful that we can do this together. That we don't say, you're not welcome, all are welcome here to come and share in this ministry in the variety of ways that we have a ministry here. We're grateful for the generosity of the people, how they support our ministry, how their love pours out to us, and how we then can share that with the world. We ask all this because we know Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.